In this set of lessons, we've been talking about the Christian view of the world. That is, the biblical view of the world. And by the world, we're talking about the physical world itself. We're talking about the material universe. We're not talking about the people of the world or the evils that are in the world. We're asking the question, what does the Creator say about His creation? And I believe that that puts it all into perspective. People talk about the environment today. People have all kinds of opinions about what ought to be done or not done with the environment. There are all kinds of theories that are written and taught about the material universe. But when you put it in this question, what does the Creator say about His creation, then no longer are you looking at it from the standpoint of some kind of detached observer. Well, what should we do with the environment? And where did this universe really come from? When we talk about it being the creation and having a creator, that changes our outlook on this world in which we live. So how should we look at God's creation? Today, we're going to look at a part of this discussion that worldly-minded people don't like to think about. And that is the fact that the world, this physical order of things, will end. And the Bible is very clear about this. I'm going to look at three passages today, and we're going to begin in Matthew 24, verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Here Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Jesus' words will be forever. Jesus' words will always be. But heaven and earth, He said, will pass away. Heaven and earth will cease to exist someday. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That happened in the beginning. Jesus said there will be an end to the heaven and the earth. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Now the next passage that we're going to look at is Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 10 through 12. Hebrews 1, verses 10 through 12. Again, we're looking at what the Creator says about His creation, and we're finding today that God not only says that the creation had a beginning, but that the creation will have an end. And that will be because of the decree and the action of God Almighty. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. "And Thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands." So in Hebrews 1, verse 10, the Bible talks about the creation of this universe. And then in verses 11 and 12, the Bible talks about the destruction of that same creation. Verse 11, "They shall perish." So in verse 10, he talks about the earth, he talks about the heavens, and how that in the beginning God created these things. And then in verse 11, the Bible says, "They shall perish." The heaven and the earth shall perish. They will cease to be sometime in the future. But he says, "But thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." So we have a contrast here between God and His creation. The creation is going to perish. The Bible says that God is going to fold them up like a vesture. He's going to put them away like old clothes, and He's going to do away with them. But God is going to remain the same. So this is similar to Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Jesus said that the physical order of things will pass away, but He said, "My words will never pass away." Jesus' teaching will never pass away. Here in Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says that God will always be the same. God will always remain the same. But His creation, well, that's going to be destroyed. He says that it is going to perish. Now that's Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. The third passage is 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Peter said, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Now that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." So these mockers, he said, will scoff at the very idea that the Lord is coming again. And they understood, these scoffers understood, that when the Lord comes again, the physical order is going to be destroyed. Now that's obvious from what he talks about here. It's very clear that they understood that this was a promise not simply of Jesus' return, but of Jesus' return to judge the world and to destroy the physical universe. And we find that especially beginning in verse 5. Because in verse 5, he says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." So he says they shut their eyes. They deliberately choose to be ignorant. That is, they ignore the fact that God created all of this. So his point to these people is simply this. If God had the power to create all of this, then God certainly has the power to destroy all of this. Why would anybody doubt that God is going to destroy the world when the Bible teaches us that God created the world? The same Bible that talks about God creating the world promises that God someday will destroy the world. Also, in verse 6, the Bible says, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Now, in verse 6, he's talking about the flood. God sent a flood upon the earth, and that flood destroyed the surface of the earth. Well, if God had the power to do that, and God fulfilled his promise to send that flood, then God is going to fulfill his promise to send his son, Jesus Christ, and to destroy the world. So what he's saying to these people is, you ought to learn from the past. If God's word meant what he said in the past, then God's word about the future is going to hold true. God means what he says. And how many times does man have to see that before he believes it? It's kind of a funny thing, isn't it, folks? It's a strange thing that man refuses to believe God, even though God proves that his word is true time and time again. And oftentimes man suffers because he doesn't believe what God has said. And yet when it comes to the future, man doubts. Man complains. Man denies what God has said in his word. That's what these people, he said, will do. In verse 7, he also said, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now, what he's saying in verse 7 is this. God punished the world with the flood in verse 6. But in verse 7, he says, by the same word, that is the same word of the same God, the heavens and the earth are kept in store. They're laid up. They are reserved this time unto fire. So the first time God sent a flood, he used water. The next time God is going to use fire. The first time God sent the flood upon the surface of the earth, but there were people that lived through that. Noah and his family lived through that, and the earth survived. The next time God is going to send fire, and it is going to be complete destruction. But I want you to notice how it's worded here in verse 7. Look at it again. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word of God that sent the flood, is going to send the destruction of this world by fire in that last day." Now let's go on to verse 8. The Bible says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Time is nothing to God. When a man says that he doesn't believe that Jesus is coming again because so much time has taken place, so much time has elapsed since Jesus made that promise, because there are people that say, well, he made that promise a long time ago, so evidently he's not coming because a long time has taken place and passed. The Bible says in verse 8, don't think like that because God doesn't see time the way that we do. 1,000 years in God's sight are nothing. And in verse 9, the Bible tells us the reason that the earth still stands is that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason that God has not destroyed the world to this time is because he's giving men time and space to repent. Because he doesn't want anybody to perish, he wants all to come to repentance. Now in verse 10, here is where the Bible tells us about the end that is coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says about this destruction. The Bible says this is a complete and universal destruction. He talks about the heavens passing away. That means the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that you see above you. He says the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and everything in it shall be burned up. Everything is going to be annihilated. There will not be anything left. That's how utter this destruction will be. Now, folks, this is not talking about a nuclear war here on Earth. Some people think that, well, the end of time will be because of nuclear war, and there will be so many explosions that the Earth is just going to be destroyed. It's not just the Earth here that the Bible says will be destroyed. It's the whole universe. It won't be because a meteorite or an asteroid hit the Earth, and the Earth is destroyed, and yet the rest of the universe just goes on. That's not going to happen. That's not the scene that he tells us about here. It's not going to be because of global warming. That's not at all in the picture here. When people talk about the demise of our environment and the end of the world, it's not going to be because of global warming. It's going to be because of global burning. It won't be some kind of scorched surface. There are people that think that this verse is only talking about God burning off the surface of the earth and then recreating this world. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says that the elements will melt and the earth itself, will be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. So again, this passage is talking about a complete universal destruction of the material universe. And in verses 11 and 12, he tells us what our attitude should be in light of this. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, most people live like the world is going to be here forever. It will not. So don't get attached to this world. The Bible says that it's going to burn up someday, and what we ought to be concentrating on is where our souls are going to spend eternity.